Good morning. My name's Mike, if you don't know me, and welcome to Greater Alton Church this morning. Sit back, relax. I hope that God has something for you this morning. There's a few things before I jump into the sermon that I would like to bring up. One, I have worshiped in a grocery store, and I have worshiped on a mountainside, and I've even had the privilege of worshiping in Notre Dame. To me, the location doesn't matter. But I would like to point out that our church building is starting to look really dang good on the outside. I am not one of those guys that really care what the building looks like, but I just want to bring that out. Like, I pulled up and I'm like, ooh, that color's nice. I'm just putting that out there. So I want to thank the guys who are working on the outside of the building, trying to make it have a little bit of curb appeal. That's really cool. Some things coming up. We have a marriage retreat coming up in just a couple of weeks. We're going to be out at Kentucky Lake. It's going to be awesome. Just to put a bug in your ear, we got Fall Fest coming up. We always have a good time at that. Men, November 7th through the 9th. Put that in the back of your head. November 7th through the 9th, we're having our men's retreat out at Camp Durley again. That's going to be awesome. Yeah. There'll be more information coming out about that, but I just want to make sure y'all are aware now that it is almost September, that in November we're having a men's retreat. There's a lot of stuff going on, and I don't know if you can tell this morning that I am really excited about stuff. I was talking to Alan just a second ago. Before I come out here on stage, I spend like an hour listening to worship music, and my worship music may not be the same as your worship music. I listen to like KB. If you know who KB is, he has a song called Worship in a Mosh Pit. Thank you. Or Graves, also a KB song, but with some other people in it. It's rap, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about. But there's also some other music mixed in, like Elevation Worship and stuff. So I also had coffee, and Jesus was hyping me, and some really cool stuff has been happening in the kingdom. I'm not going to get into all of it, but I have had a front seat this week of seeing some really cool stuff. I have the joy and privilege and honor of helping with the youth ministry right now, and I'm getting to see tons of kids just show up on Wednesday nights. TK, bless you. I had four junior hires on Wednesday. I had four junior hires, but in the crossover, there was like 40 kids in that room. That might be a little overestimating. It was probably closer to 30, but there was a lot of kids in there. Actually, there was about 30 because I had to hand out 30 cards. There's stuff happening in the kingdom, and it is awesome. It is so cool. Right now, we're in a sermon series that is really close to my 90s kids' heart. Back in the day, how many of you had a bracelet, the WWJD bracelet? Yep. Born in the 80s, raised in the 90s. Yep. What would Jesus do? And I love how we slightly changed it. What does Jesus do? Because, you know, he's still alive. He's still moving. He's still kicking. So it's really close to my heart. And again, every time I'm up here, I'm like, I love this sermon series. I really do. Today, we're going to have a really fun conversation on what does Jesus do when he's treated unfairly. Who else is excited to talk about that? Real quick, I also forgot, next week we are doing a celebration service from 5 to 7 here on Sunday. End of summer celebration. So be here for that. There's going to be food. And the best kind of food. Free. So, let's jump into this sermon this morning. What does Jesus do when he's treated unfairly? How many of you guys are YouTube junkies? You constantly are on YouTube. Oh, it's my go-to when I can't fall asleep. Oh, I'm going to turn on some music. Maybe some nice bells. I don't know. Or when I'm bored at work. Oh, I didn't say that out loud. Some of my favorite things to watch are karma videos. Anybody watch karma videos? A lot of them involve traffic problems with conveniently placed cops. I shouldn't like those videos as much as I do, right? That's not... But it's so, like, yes, get them! Get them! Jesus is probably, like, shaking his head at me as I'm watching that. But I'm open about my struggles. So, I'm not going to be talking about wanting other people to get what we think they deserve. I'm not talking about the other people. I'm not talking about the people that treat you unfairly. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about what does Jesus do when he is treated unfairly? Never in scripture did Jesus call lightning down to smite the person that was treating him unfairly. He was human. He probably wanted to, but he knew that would be wrong and God wouldn't like that. And so he didn't. And I would hope this morning that I don't have to prove to you that Jesus was treated unfairly. I mean, if you look at his life, the very first thing that happened to him as a human was he was born in a barn. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords did not come into his kingdom in a palace. He was not born into a palace. He was born into a feeding trough. And right there, right off the bat, he is so being treated unfairly. You see, Jesus always takes a humble position. And this morning, I need to remember that too. And we're going to talk about that. And you know, Jesus wasn't always just treated unfairly by the people who didn't believe in him or shouldn't believe in him. He wasn't just treated unfairly by the world. He was also treated unfairly by what should have been the people who welcomed him. So this morning, we're not just talking about out there. We're not just talking about out there. We're also talking about in here. Because hurt can happen here too. We can treat others unfairly in this room and out there. So let's look at what Jesus says about being treated unfairly. In your bulletins, there's some notes, and the first page doesn't look like notes. It just looks like passages, because I feel like we should read a lot of scripture. When we're in church, you know, Jesus quotes a lot of scripture. So let's look at it. There's a few passages there on the first page of your notes, two in Matthew, one in John. And let's start in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says this, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven. For that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And a little further down in Matthew chapter 5, he says this, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, don't resist an evildoer. On the contrary, if anyone slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. As for the one who wants to sue you and take away your shirt, let him have your coat as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to the one who asks you, and don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what are you doing out of the ordinary? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Oh, that last verse sucks. I'm sorry. And then if we look in the book of John, he tells us this. "This is what I command you. Love one another. If the world hates you, understand that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. However, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of it, the world hates you. Remember the word I spoke to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But they will do all of these things to you on account of my name, because they don't know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now they have no excuse for their sin. The one who hates me also hates my Father. If I had not done the works among them that no one else has done, they would not be guilty of sin. Now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But this happened so that the statement written in their law might be fulfilled. They hated me for no reason." So these are some really easy teachings, right? This is some really easy Bible passage to read and apply to our life, and we can just go home because, man, we got this. Wow, it's really quiet out there. How often when I am overlooked, overworked, wrongly accused, unjustly singled out, how often do I get upset? Jesus is not teaching me that I need to be upset about that. What he is teaching me is that if I am promoting him and being an image bearer of him, I should expect that because he is telling me it is because of him that those things are happening. Ooh, that really makes me want to follow Jesus, right? It really makes me jump in like, woo, yeah, persecution. Oh. And then we have the problem of he's also not telling us to be a pushover. In Scripture, we're not told to just allow sin to happen to us. We're not told to just take the abuse. But look at what Paul wrote in the Roman church, wrote to the Roman church in Romans 12. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for God's wrath, because it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says the Lord. But, I hate that word. But, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For in doing so, you will be heaping fiery coals on his head. Oh, that one's not so bad. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. He's saying, God's going to take care of it. God's going to take care of it. But you have to represent me. You have to love. Oh my gosh. Is anybody else not liking this so far? Can I tell you how much fun I've been having studying this out? Like, but I want to say, no, I can't, because that's not what Scripture says. I want to be like, it's okay to be mean to the person who's being mean to you. Just give it back to them. That's not what this is saying. And I don't like that. I don't like that. It's okay to ignore the person who's ignoring you because they don't like you. I don't like that. It's okay. Fill in the blank. This is hard. How do I reconcile how Jesus lives to how I should live? And how can I turn the other cheek and yet not get all walked over all the time? For the past, I think, 9 years now. Every year, beginning of the year, I pick a translation of Scripture that I'm going to read, and I pick a verse that has been that's really challenging to me that I remember from the year before, because I read through Scripture every year. And for the past 9 years, it's been the same passage, because God's not done with me yet. And I've shared it with you guys before. We're going to look at it this morning. It's Micah 6:8. And in the contemporary English version, it says, the Lord God has told us what is right and what he demands. So right there, it has my attention. God has told me what's right and what he expects of me. And here it is. See that justice is done. Let mercy be your first concern and humbly obey your God. See that justice is done. Let mercy be your first concern and humbly obey God. What's beautiful about this passage, absolutely beautiful, is the prophet Micah takes the entire law. So if you read the first 5 books of the Bible, he takes all of that and boils it down to 3 things. I'm a simple creature and I need simple things. And he boils all of that down so that I can understand it. And he says, seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God. 3 things. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Micah. But you know, Jesus takes it a step further. He boils it down just a little bit more for me. In Matthew chapter 22, he says this. He's asked first, teacher, which command in the law is the greatest? So, teacher, Micah boiled it down to 3. So which one's the greatest? And Jesus answered him, love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. And that's my sermon. That's how you overcome adversity and being treated unfairly this morning. Thank you for laughing at that joke, Andy. It's not that simple. But it is. It's not that simple. But it is. If I am going to love God, that means everything that God is first in my life. I want to seek His name and His glory, not the name of Mike, not the name of Dinius, not the name of Greater Alton, the name of Jehovah, Yahweh, El Shaddai. And if I am doing that in my brain, I'm not representing me, I'm representing Christ. I'm representing Jesus. And that flows into loving people. I'm supposed to be Jesus in the people around me. I am not perfect in this. That passage where it says, be perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect. Haven't gotten there yet. Haven't gotten there yet. When some of you will understand this. When I get to work and people talk to me before coffee, I am not perfect. I don't want to stand up here and tell you this lesson like I got it together. So please don't hear this, that I got it together. I do, however, think that on the heels of Gary talking about politics last week, that this is a really good lesson for us. And if you want to hear that lesson, you can go to greateraltonchurch.com and you can check that out. But it's not so, org, sorry, greateraltonchurch.org. I'll get it right one day. But it's not so simple that love God and love people. But it is. So in your notes, there's some blanks. And the first blank where there's usually title, I have it for you to write in. What you should write in there is, how can I respond like Jesus? When I'm treated unfairly, it's really easy to react. Oh, it's so easy to react. But I have found that my reactions do not represent Jesus. I would love to be in a place one day when I can react and it represents Jesus perfectly. But I have to think about how I respond and not react. You can talk to my children and my wife. There are way too many times that I'll just react and not respond. You can talk to my coworkers. There are way too many times that I react and not respond. So this morning, I will walk through adversity like Jesus when I, number one, I seek God's justice. Oh, we're going back to Micah 6:8. I hope you guys noticed this. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 15 says this. Whatever is has already been, and whatever will be already is. However, God seeks justice for the persecuted. God seeks justice for the persecuted. Before we go any further, can somebody in the class please tell me who seeks justice? Not Mike? No. So we have to seek God's justice. Okay, that might be a little different than Mike's justice. That might be just a tad different. And I also feel that I need to define being treated unfairly versus being persecuted. While this lesson applies to both, I think in America we throw around the word persecuted way too easily. Yes, it's unfair that you didn't get a job because you worked Sunday mornings and they needed you for Sunday mornings and you didn't get the job. That's being treated unfairly. I don't believe that's being persecuted. Yes, you can argue with me however you want. It's just semantics. Yes, it seems that conservative Christianity is looked down on in America right now, but none of us are being tortured. I believe persecution exists in the world today. I believe there are being killed. There are people being killed, imprisoned, and tortured to death because they just profess Christ as Savior and Lord of their life. Sometimes that happens in America, but But just because Target or Walmart is flying a pride flag does not mean you're being persecuted. Many times I hear somebody say that they're being persecuted, and in reality, they're just choosing to be offended. So, in your notes, where it says step one, or number one, seek God's justice, put a little A with a parenthesis on the outside and say, refuse to be offended. Refuse to be offended. It's so easy to be offended. I might have offended you already this morning, and I did not mean to. It's not my intent to offend anyone from up here. I have to regularly choose to not be offended because of the people I'm around. I'm not around Christians all the time. There are things that I hear that I'm like, nope. Nope, but I'm going to choose to not be offended. And there are times where I'm around my Christian brothers and sisters that I have to choose to not be offended. Because we don't all see eye to eye. We don't all agree on everything. We agree that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of our life, and that makes us family. But I don't agree with everything everybody says. In the passages we've read that Jesus is talking, think about this. He's telling you to turn the other cheek. He's telling you to do all this stuff. And he is preaching to people he knew were going to be tortured and killed for their faith. He knew they were going to be tortured and killed for their faith. And they were persecuted by both the Jew and the Gentile. They were persecuted by both the church and the not church. All this aside, all this semantics of what the words I'm using are, I do believe that people are going to treat you unfairly just because you believe in Jesus. I have been treated unfairly just because I believe in Jesus. I've worked in environments that are not Christian. I currently work in an environment that's not Christian. And don't be like, you're the preacher. I don't get paid for this. So my day job, the job that allows me to do this, it's not Christian. There are God-fearing people there, but it is not a Christian environment. I have been treated unfairly by other Christians because of our church. Many of you, like, oh, that church? Have you seen the way that building is shaped? Did you know that there are laws in this country that are there to help you stand up for yourself? If you're in abuse, if you're in an abusive relationship, if you're in an abusive situation, if sin has been done to you, if the law has been broken against you, there are laws to help you. And I totally and firmly believe that you should seek justice. But the justice that you should seek is not yours. It's God's. Because God seeks justice for the persecuted. He's going to seek justice for you. Let him seek justice for you. But in Scripture, whenever it's talking about the punishment that comes with the consequences of breaking the law, because it does, there's punishment everywhere. It's God's justice. And God's justice is always meant to restore. My justice is meant to avenge. God's justice is restorative. It's to help the persecutor, the person who is treating you unfairly. It's to your benefit too, but God wants to restore the people who have sinned against him. And specifically in abusive relationships, restoration does not mean it goes back to the way it was. There are consequences to sin, and there are consequences to persecution. There are consequences to being treated unfairly. You do not, hear me, you hear me. Seeking God's justice does not mean you have to walk back into that situation. That's what I'm saying. We're not supposed to just be a welcome mat where we get trampled all over. God is going to seek justice for us. We need to seek God's justice. And I know I'm just hammering this into the ground, but I want to make sure that I'm clear on this. You don't have to go back into that situation that is sinful. But you should pray for that person's restoration. If I want to respond like Jesus, I need to promote restoration and not retribution. I need to seek God's justice. Number two, and arguably the more important, it's weird that I put it number two, it's more important, is I need to love God's mercy. Back in Micah 6:8, we read it said, first, love God's mercy. In fact, it said, let it be your first concern. Let mercy be your first concern. Matthew 9:36 says this, when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dejected, like sheep without a shepherd. He looked at crowds. In those crowds were people who were going to put him on trial. And he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dejected like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus has mercy for people. Look in Romans chapter 12 with me. It says, for the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly as God has measured faith to each one. If I am going to have mercy be my first concern, I need to think about the other person too. Again, I'm not saying be a welcome mat, be walked all over. But if I'm going to love God's mercy, I'm going to have compassion towards people. In scripture, we never see Jesus saying to ignore the law. Ever. He never says, you don't have to worry about the law anymore. Never says that. In fact, he says he came to fulfill the law and not to remove it. And time after time when a sinner is brought before Jesus, we see him offer mercy right off the bat. Some of my favorite stories. The woman caught in the act of adultery. The law said she should be stoned to death. What did Jesus say? Do you guys remember? Go and leave your life of sin. The one person. He said, let you who are without sin cast the first stone. The one person who could throw the rock said, go and leave your life of sin. The law said she had to die. Jesus said, you are forgiven. The woman with the issue of blood. The law said it was illegal for her to be near people. What does Jesus say? He says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Not only does he not condemn her for being there, he puts his hedge of protection around her by calling her daughter. Again, he could have been the first one to condemn her. Zacchaeus, you know, the most fun song you ever sang back in Bible time. He was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He was a betrayer of his people just by becoming a tax collector. What does Jesus tell him? How's the song go? For I'm going to your house today. He went and ate with him. You were known by who you ate with. Who you ate with really had a big impact on your societal effect, right? Jesus going and ate with a tax collector. What? What? That's an act of mercy. The man with leprosy in Matthew chapter 8 or any other story of lepers in it, they're all slightly different, but they have the same idea. It's illegal for him to approach people according to the law, right? He's got leprosy. He's not supposed to be there. What does Jesus say to him? What does Jesus say to him? He says, I am willing. Be made clean. Full disclosure, sometimes if somebody doesn't smell good, I don't want to hug them. Jesus touched lepers. That's hard. I don't like that. I don't like that. There's a lot in scripture I don't like. I love. I don't like it. These people all broke God-given Jewish law. They broke it. Justice said they should die. Mercy says extend grace. Mercy says give them grace. Love them. I don't know the battles you are fighting right now. You don't know the battles I am fighting right now. I don't know the battles the people around me are fighting. They could be mad at me for nothing I did. It could have been They got rear-ended on the way to church, and now they're upsetty spaghetti, and it's coming out on me, right? We don't know what's going on. We are all just a few bad moments, decisions, and accidents, and tragedies away from having a horrible life. Just a couple. Just a couple. All of us. We don't know what people are going through. But if I just extend a little bit of mercy to the people around me, what does that do? What does that do? If I think of myself in a slightly humbler way when others are treating me unfairly, it's just a little bit easier to overcome. I didn't say easy. Easier. How many of you have gone out to a restaurant and your food was wrong? Everybody, right? Everybody's had that. There was one night, Cassie and I think we took the girls with us. We went down to Applebee's, you know, because that's where you go when you give up. And we sat down, and across the little aisle from us was a friend at another table. And we're like, oh, hey. And him and his, at the time, fiance, were like, hey. And it was very cordial. We don't see him very often. And then our waitress comes up, and right off the bat, she goes, hi, guys. It's my first night. Fabulous. She goes, so please, please bear with me. We're like, it's cool. What are you guys going to have to drink? Water. Because your sodas are $4 a piece. And she goes, well, I have your table and their table. And she pointed to our friend. And the table behind you. So it's my first night. I'm still learning. We're like, cool. 10 minutes later, we got our waters, and she took our order. It's fine. It's her first night, right? Then the table behind me starts complaining. Their food came out, and it was wrong. Not the waitress's fault, by the way. The cook's fault. This steak is cooked too much. That's fair. You know, it's not right. Let's make it right. Something else was wrong. And again, all of these things are not this girl's fault. Yeah, she was a little slow, but it's her first night. If she told us right off the bat it was her first night, and I heard her tell them it was her first night, then I'm sure she told them it was her first night. And these people, oh man, I felt bad for her. And it took forever to get our food. It took forever to get our food because of this other table. And the manager had to come out, and this table left. And finally, we got our food, and my food got set down in front of me, and it was not what I ordered. And she was off doing something, and she came up, and she's crying because of what happened at this other table. And I'm like, oh, no. I was like, miss? And she's like, I'm so sorry it took so long. It's okay. It's okay. My food's not right. Ooh! I'm like, hold on a minute. Hold on. I completely understand. This isn't your fault. At least I'm assuming it's not your fault. We'll just go with that. Just, I can wait. Make it right. I eat way faster than anybody else in my family. I'll still be done before them. 10 minutes later, and the other table had stuff wrong too, by the way, our friends. 10 minutes later, my drinks are topped off. My food is right. Their drinks are topped off. Their food is right. She's out there apologizing, and we're like, it's okay. We've all had those days, and she's just crying, and I hear this Christian man next to me grab her by the hand and console her and tell her it's going to be okay. And we did the same thing with her, and when we left a little note and a tip. We didn't skimp on the tip, and we're like, I didn't have to cook, okay? I didn't have to get up to get water, and why wouldn't I give this girl a little tip? Because she made sure it happened for me. And we told her, you're going to have days like that. It's okay. Justice said, I need to make a stand and make a statement that this isn't right and I shouldn't have to pay for this and blah, blah, blah. Mercy says, you're having a bad day. How many of us have had a bad day and we needed a little bit of mercy? I need to remember that just because I'm being treated unfairly might not even have anything to do with me. And in those moments, if I extend mercy instead of justice, I am showing the love of Jesus. Yes, there are going to be times where justice is required. I'm not saying don't seek God's justice, but I am saying share Jesus' mercy. Share the love of God. Be his hands and feet to the people around you. And I need to remember that I need mercy just as much as you do and the people out there. And if we share mercy, what's going to happen to this world? They're not going to be like, full disclosure, I ran a restaurant on Sunday mornings. Can I tell you the people I hated to serve the most We're the church people. And if I ever hear that somebody in here left a tip that looked like a $100 bill, but if you turn it over, it was a track about Jesus, we're going to have words. Because let me tell you, you're not going to win anybody. You're going to push them further away. But if I show up at a restaurant after church and I clean my table and they're like, sir, this is McDonald's. We don't even do that. I'm leaving the world a better place. And the third thing this morning is if I'm going to show mercy, I really need to learn to walk humbly with God. I'm not going to be able to show mercy unless I'm learning to walk humbly with God. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourselves. It doesn't say consider other Christians as more important than yourselves. It doesn't say consider other guys or other ladies or other kids. It just says others. Again, why do we got to read these verses? It's really hard to be humble. Humility is this really tricky thing. You remember in Matthew chapter 5, we read it a little while ago. Jesus said we would be treated unfairly because of him, and we would be blessed because of it. If I want to learn how to handle injustice like Jesus, then I need to be humble like Jesus. And humility is so difficult. Once you think you've got it, you don't. You're like, oh, I'm the most humble person in the world. Oh, dang it. And I'm not saying we have to be like those monks in Monty Python who just walk around and nos ordres d'oublier, dunk. Or the guys that used to whip themselves. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying we're called to be servants. We're called to serve. Jesus tells us in Matthew 23, the greatest among you will be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. What? What? Again, Jesus is spitting some fire this morning, and I'm not a fan of it. I mean, I am, but come on, make it easy. It's hard to be arrogant when you're washing someone's foot. Jesus washed not only the foot of his betrayer, but in the span of 24 hours, prayed for the people who put him on the cross while he was on the cross. I don't think I have that kind of humility yet. I don't think I have that love for mercy yet. I want to. I want to grow in that. I'm not there yet. And if you're there, please help me. That's hard. It's real hard. I also want you to catch something in Matthew 23. If we as Christ followers exalt ourselves, what's going to happen? Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. It doesn't say might be humbled. It doesn't say could be humbled. It says will be humbled. Have you ever been humbled? Okay, fun story real quick. Last Friday was the purple and gold scrimmage at Bethalto at CM. And it was this really cool thing, we've never been to it, where every fall activity was recognized. And the seniors were recognized, it was really cool. And the first thing up was the marching band. And I am now a marching band dad. Kara plays the clarinet. She's loving it. We love it. There's a great community and environment. It's way better than the cheerleaders. And we're loving it, right? Well, the first meeting I went to for parents, there was two dads. And they said, the dads are going to build the props. I said, she said that plural. There was two of us. Okay, I just got voluntold. I'm helping build the props. It's cool. She's like, we're going to build a 10-foot diameter platform that's 12 inches tall on wheels. And on top of that, we're going to build a 6-foot diameter platform that's 12 inches tall. And on top of that, we're going to put a 2-foot platform diameter that's 12 inches tall. And I'm like, that's okay, that sounds big. And she's like, we'll put wheels under it so it's easier for you guys to push it. What? I got to make it and I got to push it. Well, they started building it while we were in Europe, and they kind of finished it while Cassie was in the hospital, but I still got to help. And flash forward to last Friday. This thing's heavy. We put hooks on it for a tow strap, and me and this other dad, who's bigger than me, by the way, we can move it, the two of us. It's great. I asked the band director, hey, at what point do we need to come out and help? She's like, well, I had the boys in the band help move it out, so we'll get you some help when it's time to move it in. Do you have the strap? I go, I thought you had the strap. She goes, no, he had the strap, the other dad, and he's not there. Oh, well, we'll figure it out. And I'm waiting for them to get done. And she goes, she points to me. She's like, okay, you can move this now. And it's just me. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. She's like, we got to hurry up and get it out of here. It's at the 50-yard line. Well, the 45-yard line. And I got to get it past the end zone. Onto the track. Okay. And I bend down. I put on shoes, not sandals. It was great. And I start pushing it. I'm like, hey, yeah. I got to the 20. And two boys in the cross country team were like, do you need help? I was like, yes, I do. Oh, gosh, yes, I do. I was humbled in front of a very large crowd. Very large crowd. Even the band director was like, give it up for Mr. Didius. I was like, he died when I was 14. Oh, my gosh. Have you ever been humbled? It's not a fun experience. And that's a silly one. I've been humbled worse than that. Way worse than that. But that's a fun one. I'm willing to share it up here. Have you ever been humbled? If we want to walk through adversity like Jesus, then we have to remain humble. When I am seeking justice, am I seeking justice for me? Because that's not humility. If I'm seeking God's justice, I'm seeking justice for Him, and I want it to be restorative, not retributive. I said that word without tripping. Look at me. And I'm going to extend mercy. All of that, all of this goes together. You can't separate it. You can't love God and not love people. You can't seek justice and not extend mercy, because that's not love. You can't seek mercy and, or you can't seek justice and love mercy if you aren't humble, because then it's going to be all about you and not about God. You can't separate this. That's the hard thing about this. And again, I'm not a big fan. I am when it happens to me, when that mercy is extended to me and that grace is extended to me. But when I have to do it back, that's hard. That's hard. It's not fun. It's not fun washing feet. How many of you have washed feet that weren't your children's? Yeah, it's not fun. It's akin to changing the diaper of a baby that's not yours. I didn't mind changing my girl's diapers. When I had to change somebody else's poopy diaper, this ain't my kid. I don't even care if you are my niece. You ain't my kid. This is weird. Come on, man. Seek justice. Love mercy. And walk humbly with God. It's easy to say. It's not easy to do. And this morning, I hope that I've gotten you thinking. Because it's different for each one of us. What that looks like in our lives is different for each one of us. And I noticed on the computer in the back, it said that there was 22 hours of recording time available. So we could talk about it if you want. But I value your time. I can't tell you individually what that's going to look like in your lives. But I can show you how important it is, how hard it is, how much I don't like it. I love it. I can love something and not like it. I love all of Scripture. Some of it's like, oh, God, do we really got to do that? Please, no. Where are you right now? Where are you right now? As a Christian, we're called to seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. We're called to love God and love people. But if you're not a Christian, if you haven't surrendered to Him, this whole love God and love people thing might sound a little strange. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life? If you don't, are you willing to surrender to Him in humility? To allow Him to rule your life? To allow Him to help you learn and walk in these hard teachings? I have. He is willing and able to be a good shepherd for you, just like He is for me. And There are people in this room who would love to sit down and show you how you could have him as your Lord and Savior, how you could seek his justice and love his mercy and walk humbly in his ways and have that happen to you too. Have that grace that I was talked about. Grace is this beautiful thing. When I was in like third grade, I learned grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. We get everything that God has because of what Jesus did. And you can have that this morning. You can have that peace of mind that you are his child. If you are a Christian, are you going through adversity? Are you being treated unfairly right now? Can you look at your life and see where you've sought God's justice or maybe your justice and how that's different? Can you see where you need to extend mercy? Can you see where you need to be more humble? And I want to ask you this. If you are a Christian and you've never gone through adversity, can I ask you to evaluate where you stand with Jesus? Because Jesus has told us in this world we will have trouble. And if you've never had trouble, can you evaluate your walk? Because, you see, the moment I decided I was going to do something for Jesus, I had adversity in my life. The moment I sought God's will, I had adversity in my life. Maybe right now you don't have adversity in your life because you just overcame adversity and God's given you some time to recoup and to recover because you're going to need it because we need you back in the fight. Maybe that's what's going on. But I do want to ask, if you've never experienced adversity, look at your walk. Is it with Christ? That's challenging because I've had to do that myself. I'm like, oh, it's going really good right now. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Am I doing what God wants or am I doing what the other side wants right now? Maybe things are going too easy. You're healing, you're going through, you're overcoming some stuff right now. No matter where you at, I want to ask you, what are you seeking? What are you seeking? Are you seeking your will to be done or God's will to be done? No matter where you're at, it's a really easy question. Am I seeking the will of Mike or the will of God? And this morning, you're going to have an opportunity to think about that, to pray to God about that. We're going to have the worship team is going to come back up. They're going to sing a song and give you some time to fill out your prayer card, which is also in your bulletin. And on that prayer card, it's just an opportunity for you to write out a prayer. I know there's a lot of hurt and a lot of things going on in the world right now that require prayer. And we believe here at Greater Alton that prayer works. It's a powerful tool. It's a weapon. And there's a prayer team that is devoted to praying over these cards. There's also some places to fill out information if you want to ask questions, if you want like a Bible study, if you want to know more of what Mike just stumbled through. You can check a box and somebody will be in touch with you. In the back, there are some baskets that you can put that prayer card in. If you're a guest here, you're going to see our members put in their offerings. We didn't ask you here to get something from you. Please don't feel that you need to put something in those baskets. That's not why we want you here. We want you here to share the love of God with you, share the love of Christ, and to be his family to you. And I hope you have felt that this morning. Again, the worship team is going to come up. We're going to sing a song, and then it's Labor Day weekend. I pray that you have a great day off for those of you who get it off tomorrow, and that you get to spend time with the people you love and the people you like. And we can just celebrate being his children. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. As hard as it is sometimes, Father, to look at, to challenge myself with, Father, I am so grateful for your word. I am so grateful for how it speaks into my life and speaks into the lives of the people around me. Father, it is amazing that you have given it to us. I'm so grateful for your son who lived a life I can't live, but I can try. I can try, Father. I can try to be like Christ. I can try to live the way Jesus lived and treat people the way Jesus lived and respond to the way people treated him. Father, it's so hard. It is so hard to be like your son. I pray that you encourage all of us here. You send your spirit on us mightily, Father, so that we can be your hands and your feet to the world. And that the world is different because of us, Father. Because of you and what you've done in our lives. I am so grateful for this family that is here, and I am grateful for a long weekend, Father. I'm grateful I get to spend it with my family. I love you, Father. It is in your name I pray. Amen.
All that I am, all that I am, I lay them down before you, O Lord. All my regrets, all my acclaim, the joy and the pain, I'm making them yours. For your glory.